take your seat in the presence of the Lord as you receive this word of greeting. I want to just give us a chat. You are seeing me from the screen. Are you okay at the back there? You are seeing me, right? I think that is okay. I just felt like coming closer so I can be a bit closer here. I am speaking very quickly. Sorry, greeting very quickly. On the subject, dignity and royalty in marriage. Dignity and royalty in marriage. Following the subject of a royal priesthood, 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 5 to 6, he said, for after this manner, holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Our objective tonight is, number one, understand existence in dignity and royalty in marriage. Existence in dignity and royalty in marriage. That's first. That is, if my marriage is to appear royal and dignified, how do I flow? Number two is understanding the secrets of royalty and of dignity and royalty in marriage. What do I do to have a marriage that is dignified and it is royal? I want us to understand that as far as Sarah was concerned, Abraham was king. He didn't call Abraham husband. Lord, my king, my master. Our aim tonight is to understand that every woman will see her husband as her king. And every man will see his wife as his queen. We went to America some time ago, and we were in Houston, Texas, and some of the people said they want to take me or take us to a spa or whatever it was to realize you work so much, come somewhere, let them do spa or do whatever and just relax yourself and just relieve energy and so on. So they took us somewhere, my wife and I, and we went to this place, and the person that was doing the work was a Chinese woman. And she and my wife, of course, stood by to see what was being done and to initiate the process. And the woman said to me, she said, I am going to handle you like a queen. She didn't know the difference between queen and king. She wasn't literate. She said, I am going to handle you like, that's how she put it, like kun. Kun. That's what she is. I will handle you like kun. Because your wife treats you like kun. Your wife treats you like kun. So I will treat you like kun.
I said, thank you. I didn't know what she saw, but as we arrived, he said, your wife treats you like queen. What she wanted to say is like, your wife treats you like you're a king. Like, so I wanted to treat you the same way. So she continued on and on and on and on. So since we came back from that journey, once in a while I'll tell her, I say, queen, come. Queen, queen, come. Praise the Lord. Obviously, that woman saw something. And this will be the major thrust of what I want to convince us tonight. And there are seven ways that I think that a man will treat his wife as queen and a woman will treat her husband as king. So I'm going to use the word spouse to cover for both the man and the woman. Number one, give your spouse. So if we're going to have a marriage that has dignity and royalty, give your spouse the feeling of being the most important person in your life outside of God. Give your spouse the feeling of being the most important person in your life outside of God. And if you are, whether you are man or you are woman, the way and manner in which you present yourself and you conduct yourself around your husband or your wife will make it possible for them to consider you important. But give your spouse that feeling. I tell my wife, I said, apart from the agreement between man and God, the second most important and most powerful agreement on the earth is the agreement between a man and his wife. Number two, give your spouse the level of value and regard that you give to anyone you consider very important. Give your spouse the level of value and regard you will give to anyone you consider very important to you. If you are a woman, the kind of regard you will give your boss in the office, or you will give a governor when he arrives, or you will give the president of your country, that kind of regard. And I'm saying this because it's something that is very difficult for many to practice. Give that regard to your husband. You will see what will happen to the home. There are women who treat their husband shabbily and then go back to the office and then treat the boss in the office or the president of your corporation as a demigod. Come home and talk down to the man. I don't know how it works. But that, in the West, is very easy for them to call your wife, Becky, how are you? Paul, how are you? That name cannot come out of her mouth. Because there is a tendency to put people at your level when you just speak to them directly like that. Am I communicating at all? This is very, very important. There is no woman on earth that I respect higher than my wife. There is no man on earth she respects higher than myself. Now, you don't say it's because we are where we are. This is before you ever knew us. From newly married couple of under 1 year. Newly married couple of under 1 year. I communicating? That value. That whoever you consider important to you, how you value them, give that value and higher to the one you live with. Number three. All right, let me say this again. Let me add this to this. Don't ever marry anyone you are not ready to treat with value. In the process before you get married, don't ever marry anyone. You see, it is easy for women to do this. Maybe when they think their time is going, or they think everybody consider that they are losing time, then the next person that comes their way, they don't really respect the man. They don't really value him. They cannot look up to him. But let me also be married. Don't ever marry anyone you are not ready to treat with value. Number three, make your spouse, whether it is your husband or your wife, make your spouse the envy of her generation. Make your spouse the envy of her generation, the envy of her family, the envy of her classmates, the envy of her community, the envy of her generation. Deliberately make her the envy. Make him the envy. This is what I mean. Let people begin to say, what did you do to God to find such a wife? Such a wife. Such a troubleless wife. Such a problemless wife. Such a quarrelless wife. Because there are some people, the only pepper in their food is their wife. What did you do to get such a wife of peace that is giving you so much rest? And vice versa. What did you do to get such a loving husband who is almost treating you? Let people consider in the words of normal English, consider her very lucky, very favored to have you. If this is not yet the case, something is wrong somewhere. There are people who consider me highly favored to be married to who I'm married to, in terms of level of respect and submission. Some people say, oh, you're a doctor, I'm a doctor. You went to university, I went to university. Is there any challenge? But not so. Not so. And many people consider her highly favored. That she's the one married to this person. There are many who will wish it was their position. Not necessarily because we are here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let that woman in your life feel favored that it is you she married. Let that man in your life feel favored. That's number three. I'm sorry this greeting is taking a long time. Number four. Make your spouse feel that you are both grateful and proud to have them in your life. My wife, I am grateful that I have you in my life, and I am proud to have you as wife. And I'm using the word proud, not in the arrogant way. Not in the sinful way, not in the luciferic way. It is a feeling of elation. I feel elated. Is your husband grateful that she has you? Is your wife grateful to God? Father, thank you for giving me such a husband. There are women, it is only God that has prevented them from praying against their husband. And vice versa. I am not saying you are pretending. You are genuinely grateful. I am not saying you are confessing it by faith. You are genuinely grateful that this is the kind of wife God gave you all that you have, and this is the husband you have. You are genuinely grateful. If that is not the case yet, you can make it so. Make your wife and husband feel that you are both grateful and proud to have them in your wife. A woman told me a story. Had very high profile marriage. Married very, very high. But the shock of her life was that, I believe the same week they married, they were traveling out of the country, I think to UK. Here he was coming with his wife, newly married. And here is a young lady rushing at the man who just married. And the embrace, hey! That's not a problem yet. How are you? Long time. Is this your wife? No answer. Who is this? Is this your wife? So how is everything? It's a long time. All right. So we'll see you later. I'm on a journey now. And he moves with this newly married wife that he could not introduce to who knows who the girl is. That was when alarm rang in her head. I have just entered one chance vehicle. I have just entered the wrong vehicle. That marriage went on like that. All manner of serpentine, deceptive operation. Woman spent her life. Millionaire woman before she married. Spent her life. Spent her resources. Spent her everything. When she was milked dry, marriage was over. Follow what I'm saying? Why would you marry her if you are not proud of her? Why would you marry her if you cannot introduce her? I don't care who that lady is. If you can't tell her boldly, confidently, and excitedly, this is my wife. Meet my wife. Something is wrong. Meet my husband. There are those who can't introduce their husband. And never. One lady told me, she said, the marriage ended. So when she moved with her husband, she was very, very ashamed to introduce him because of parity difference and all manner. And some people would tell her, where were you looking before you married this kind of person? Royalty and dignity demands that your wife will be proud and grateful that it is you she married. Your husband will be grateful and elated that it is you she married. Number five, and this is very important, make your spouse find maximum rest and peace in your presence. Maximum rest and peace in your presence. Maximum rest and peace. Let the presence of your spouse be the most restful and peaceful presence you can ever find. The most restful and peaceful. That is, if you are stressed from outside, it is in the presence of your wife that you calm down. When you are stressed from outside, it is in the presence of your husband that you calm down. If that is not a possibility, something is wrong. You know what happens in most cases? Most people have peace when they are away from their husband. Their peace happens. When the man is coming back home, their heart is beating. This man is coming again. This man is coming again. In fact, as they hear the sound of the car in the parking lot, the tension level increases in the house. Both the children and the wife, everybody is tensed up. As he steps out, peace returns. Some it is the wife. What kind of life is this? Why do you want to pass through hell to go to hell? What kind of life is this? What kind of life is that? And I'm saying passing through hell to go to hell because there's nobody who behaves like that that has the nature of God in him. Nobody. Nobody who functions like that. Nobody who puts people and puts lives on. That's only the nature of Satan. Maximum rest. Maximum peace. Give your wife peace. Give your husband peace. Give them rest. There are many pastors who could not pastor their ministry continuously because of the heat the wife is giving them at home. Ministry turned to pieces. Business turned to shreds. And vice versa. Is anybody listening to somebody here, to something here tonight? Create rest for them. Create peace for them. Number six. Make your spouse your celebrity. We are talking of royalty. And we are talking of dignity. And what does that mean? Let her be the highest beneficiary of your affirmation. Your affirmation, commendation, appreciation. Let no one receive more affirmation, commendation and appreciation from you than your wife. It's easy to tell other people your dress is looking good. When was the last time you told that to your wife? It's easy to tell other people, I like your suit, I like your shirt, I like your sharpness of dress. When was the last time your wife heard that from you? Pastor, it's easy to tell members, I love you, God loves you. And so, when was the last time your wife heard love from your mouth? Hola, hola, hola. It's very, very easy. Very, very easy to dangle yourself and give a cup of tea to your boss in the office as Madam Secretary. When was the last time you dangled yourself with cup of tea for husband? Praise the Lord. And these things, it is easy for us to do it for others. It's easy for us to do it everywhere. But the highest beneficiary of your affirmation, your appreciation, your commendation. I'd like to let you know, honey, that I value you. I appreciate all your effort with my life with the children. You see, many of us want our spouses to operate in the prophetic. That is, they should know things we didn't say. Tell her I love her. Tell her you love her. She already knows I love her. She knows by word of knowledge. Praise the Lord. We can operate in the prophetic in other realms, but in this one, let us hear it. Praise God. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. What number are we? We are number 6. Make her, ensure that you are in the position where this, please clarify that celebrity, please. Make her the recipient, the highest recipient of affirmation, commendation, appreciation, highest. There are people who don't find anything good in their wife or in their husband. They consider them as liability. Who sent you to marry liability? I don't understand how people function. When you see some people dress down their wife like this, people that look gentle in the public, follow them home. They are wearing tie. You shouldn't be wearing tie. You should be tying rope. If you see some people's behavior at home, we have a little dog that they wore jacket. The dog has a half jacket that he's wearing because he had an affliction sometime and he shaved his hair. So it felt embarrassed. So it felt embarrassed. So they sewed for him a jacket to cover the absence of his hair. When the hair grew back, he still insisted on the jacket. When you pull the jacket, you go, I don't. You will go hide under the car. In his own mind, you have made it naked. You will hide under the car and be lamenting. When you wear the coat back, it will come out. I'm sure in his mind, he is in our realm. All of us are wearing clothes. Oh my God. Praise the Lord. Please take your seat. Hallelujah. You see, I think that some people don't even deserve to. A woman was showing me the behavior of the husband. When he said somebody recorded his explosion and behavior at home. When I looked at it, I said, what? You see the man, he can't hurt a fly in the public. What is this? What? No. Let your spouse, make your spouse be the highest recipient of your affirmation. And number 7, let your world, all right, say it like this, let your spouse be confirmed as the closest and most valuable person in your life. Let your spouse, man or woman, let it be confirmed. Let them be confirmed as the closest and most valuable person in your life. It's not that you are saying it. It is the world that is watching around. People observing you and the way you carry yourself are confirming that this man, the closest person to him is his wife. The most valuable person in his life is his wife. And for this woman, from what we can see, the most valuable person in his life is his wife. You are not the one saying it. You are not the one forcing anything. You are just living your life. And it is confirmed. Am I communicating? I appear at the Abuja airport or Lagos airport. And somebody say, good morning, sir. Happy to see you, sir. And then they look at me like, where is mommy? In other words, what are you doing here alone? It's strange, right? So, it's like, it means I can't move by myself. Then I look at them with a smile and say, he's coming, she's coming behind, she's in from the car. I say, okay. As far as they know. As far as they know. From what we know, you go everywhere together. But there are places we have gone once or twice at 20. But that is their conclusion. If you see this man, you must see that woman. If you see that. Now, I'm not necessarily suggesting that based on your assignment. But you know that unity is spiritual. If people are one, you know. And if they are not, you know. How many of you know that when people have quarreled and they are no longer quarreling, when you enter the room, you can feel the atmosphere. Even if they are currently smiling, because emotion carries presence. The emotion of anger, the emotions of fear, and all these things, they carry presence. So if there is a unity in the spirit between a man and his wife, you know, it's clear. I went to preach somewhere, I don't know where I went, within Nigeria here, somewhere. And she didn't go with me. And as I arrived, I don't know where it was, and as I arrived, she and driver and some were waiting to receive me at the airport. You remember? And then the one man of God that was with me, I won't mention his name now, very funny man of God. We landed and said, your wife is here waiting for you for one day journey. Say, eh? He came to airport to receive you. Did you travel abroad? Is he in New York? He said, this woman, the way you are holding this man. Do you understand? It wasn't rehearsed. Even there was one I told her not to come. She was already there before I landed. To take me by surprise. If there is a unity in the spirit, you don't need to. When you see people trying to work it out, it is fake. Now, there are people who try to make it look just pretending in public. And when you go back to the house, you will be shocked. The same people you see in the public. My children told me the other day, they say, how they wish they can put a camera somewhere to be recording the things that is happening naturally. Just to record what is happening here naturally. That will be very instructive. The talks we talk, the way we laugh, and the way we just, because if you start a conscious recording, then it will tame the action. How they wish it can, how is that? It's so natural. I want you to make that woman. For those of you who have not yet married, congratulations. Because you are learning things to do when the time is coming. Congratulations. 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 And God will help you to make the right decision. And God will help you to marry well. You believe that? Shout the Lord and say amen. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise as you take your seat. With his half jacket. Who told you to show? It's okay. Praise the Lord. Now, going over it again, first of all, give your spouse the feeling of being the most important person in your life. Number two, give your spouse the level of value and regard you will give to anyone you consider important to you.
Number three, make your spouse the envy of his or her generation. Number five, make your spouse feel that you are both grateful and proud to have them in your life. Number six, five, make your spouse find maximum rest in your presence. Number six, make your spouse your celebrity. Let her be the highest beneficiary of your affirmation, your commendation, your appreciation. Number seven, let your spouse be confirmed as the closest and most valuable person in your life. You know, there are many people, when people see them, they ask, how is James your friend? The first person they will ask them of is not his wife, is not his children. They will ask many things. See, when people meet you, what is the thing that they will inquire about first in your life? It's what they will consider is the most valuable to you. There are those, the first thing they ask them is how is work. What they will. Make them, let it be clear to your world around you. I don't know the last time somebody saw me and the first thing is asked, how is ministry? I don't know the last time. They will start first from the family. Hallelujah. This is my counsel. If you want to proceed marital dignity and royalty, number one, involve God in marital decisions and operation. Your decisions, your operation, involve God. That is, Lord, I'm stepping into marriage. I need you. Because I might see the container, I can't see the content. I might see how fine the person looks and how tall and handsome the man is, but I don't know what is inside them. You know. I see them for the present, but I can't know the future. I don't know how they will behave later. You know all things. Help me in this decision. And then in your marital operation, nobody can be a bad husband who is a lover of God, genuine lover of God. You love God, you fear God, you can't be a bad husband. You love God, you fear God, you can't be a bad wife. Number two, and that is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. In all your ways, acknowledge me, will direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Number two, possess the vision of a marriage of dignity and royalty. Possess the vision. Vision determines destination. What you see coming determines what you see eventually. Possess that vision. Let it flood your mind. Genesis 13:15, as all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give you. What you see is what God gives. Before you get married, see the vision. While you are in marriage, just see yourself. There are things that must not cross your mind regarding your marriage. There are behaviors and scenarios that must not cross your mind. Let me tell you a very funny story. You know, marital dignity is highly profitable. There are things you gain by being in a relationship that is dignified and honorable. One of our members here, one of the early members of our church, during one of the presidents in this country, this would be like 20 something years ago, he was a secretary to the board of whatever it was. The president was there. Remember the story? All this while, when the man came, they would, how are you? Sit down. How are you? Sit down. And they would talk. One day he decided to go with his wife. And the wife matters. You know, matter is anything that has weight and occupies space. That is the chemistry definition of matter. The wife is sizable. You know, everything has its advantage. So while the man was moving tinily in front,
the wife was rolling behind him. And as they came, the head of government stood up, greeted the man and said, "Who is this?" "My wife." "Oh, wow, madam, welcome." Nobody has ever stood up for him. But the moment he arrived with his wife, they stood up. Especially that he matters so much. That was how his rating changed from that moment forward. Because he was sensible enough to let people know he was responsible. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So, maintain that, possess that vision. Number three, determine to walk towards marital dignity and royalty. Walk it. There is nothing that works out by itself. Things must be worked to work. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Work it out. Even from courtship, work it. There is no reward in the person who won an argument in a marital situation. Is there any award? That both of us are arguing and eventually, okay, you have won. Nothing. That is unnecessary, useless tension. You let it go. You walk it. There are people who permanently use hurtful words. Words that hurt on their wives. Words that hurt on their husband. And they want life to be at peace. It doesn't work that way. What you don't work at, don't work out. What did I say? What you don't work at, won't work out. If you want it to work out, you work at it. If you want marriage to work out, you work at it. Number four, determine to walk in love. Walk in love. Anything filled with love is filled with God, because God is love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. Determined to walk in love. Anything filled with love is filled with God. And whatever is filled with God can have no pressure. Whatever is filled with God can have no tension. Whatever is filled with God can have no failure. For God is love, determined to walk in love. And finally, be more concerned about the welfare, interest, and fulfillment of your spouse than of yours. Be more concerned about the interest, welfare, and fulfillment of your spouse than of yourself. And it is scriptural. See what the Bible said in Philippians chapter 2 verse 2 to 7. Philippians chapter 2 verse 2 to 4. Rather. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not on every man his own things, but every man should look on the things of others. While you are struggling to be fulfilled, are you interested in the fulfillment of your wife? While you are struggling to be fulfilled, are you interested in the fulfillment of your husband? If everybody will pack themselves aside, okay, let me focus on making Madame happy. And Madam will pack herself aside. Let me focus on making my oga husband happy. Aye. That is, you give 100%, she gives 100%. People say marriage is 50-50. It's not 50-50. It's 100%, 100%. 50 is half. You give your all. The other person give their all. That's why the Bible says the two shall be no more. They shall not be two, but one. One. Somebody say amen. Does that make sense to you? And there are singles in the house, so I will not go beyond that. From trying to find your peace, to find what you like, all the way to relationship. Don't struggle for personal fulfillment. Struggle for the other person's interest, welfare, fulfillment. If you can come to the point in your life where your fulfillment is derived from the fulfillment of your spouse, your own fulfillment is derived when you see how fulfilled they are, then you are on the journey. Stand up on your feet. If you will make the fulfillment of your husband your life's objective, so that when you see him fulfilled, you are fulfilled. You are on the journey. And vice versa. When you make the fulfillment of your wife your objective, if you see her fulfilled, that has fulfilled you. Then you will see bliss. You will see stresslessness. You will see answer to prayers like water. Bible says that dwell with them with understanding, that your prayers be not hindered. Somebody say amen. As many snatches of this message as we can pick out. Pick it out. The first message, this one. Spread it out. Let marriage counseling reduce. Let marriage, there are people you counsel for 3 hours, they will still go and divorce. You counsel for 5 hours. There were some people who were counseling till mid 1 a.m. From around 5 p.m. till about 1 a.m. Nodding their head, jotting notes. Still went and did what they wanted. That is it. What? You should have told me from the beginning that you won't change your mind. So that both me and you won't waste our time. Pastors walk tough. I heard of a man who was a pastor before, but later on became an undertaker, a mortuary attendant or something. Jesus Christ. So, later on they asked him, they said, what is the matter? Why did you change work like this? He said, the other work was very tough. He said, I would spend hours talking to people. When they leave me, they will still go and do what they want. He said, but in this second work, any position I place them, that is where they remain. That is terrible. That is very terrible. Very terrible. Any position he lies them, they don't argue. That will never be your portion. That will never be your portion. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your two hands and just begin to give the Lord the praise. Give him the honor, give him the adoration, give him the worship. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. Rukfeka, thank you. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you. Ma shadarada husi. Lereni magazarada satana gagalayaru salada. Rata sefrete sene gagalagadadadurus. I kazaradine mirutazana nanashta. Le pretesina galayatrata kakalagadaruso. Yasarata sata kalalala. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your two hands and say, Father, I receive the grace to apply everything, I heard tonight. I receive that grace. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead, open your mouth and speak to God.
In Jesus' precious name we have prayed.
Because in a short while from now we shall be back for the commanding the day, I would want us to ensure we take individual time of praying on what you have heard. Dr. Miss Adventure, you'll join me. What I planned to do was to greet and then pray. I've greeted for almost 40 minutes. And prayer is for singles. Prayer is for married people. Prayer is for those who are single again and trust God to be reestablished. And prayer is for everyone who is trusting God, currently married, for marital dignity and royalty and honor that will bring glory to God when they see the beauty of the marriage. We're going to pray. Whatever is on your heart now, trust the Lord. There are singles here tonight that God will give the grace to start meaningful relationship before the year is over. You are not yet engaged. You haven't seen anybody yet, but God will bring the right person your way. And we are praying right now.
We pray together for you today in agreement. And we declare that God himself will step into your marital life in the name of Jesus. Everyone trusting God to be married, settled, established. You've never married or you're single again. We ask for divine intervention. Father Lord God, we ask, oh God, that wherever this person is, from the east, the west, the north, and the south, bring them the way of your special son and daughter in the name of Jesus. Father Lord God, we ask that you establish them. We take authority over ancestral curses. We take authority over generational spells. We take authority over spirit husbands. We take authority over spirit wives. We bind them and we cast them off in the name of Jesus. Say after me today, I renounce spirit spouses. I divorce you spirit husband. I divorce spirit wife. I divorce spirit children, and I receive my establishment and my marital harmony in the physical, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for married couples today, and I ask, oh God, that you help them establish marital dignity for them. Anywhere that there was a wrong foundation in their marriage, Lord God, I ask that you wipe away the negative consequences today in the name of Jesus. And I ask, oh God, that you step in and grant them good success, happy homes, marital enviable homes, and everything that, Lord, you have spoken through your servants today, let us walk with it with every wisdom in Jesus' name.
I pray today in the name of Jesus, help from above. Any help that we have seen in marriage, first of all, to find the right person. Everyone here trusting God for the same help, it is released for you in the name of Jesus. Help in the home, dignity, royalty, no tension, no pressure, no distraction.
Amen.
I prophesy the same for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For singles trusting God, between now and the end of the year, may God show you mercy.
Amen.
The embargo is lifted.
Amen.
The yoke is broken.
Amen.
Your prayers are answered.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
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 Amen.
Every marriage under any form of pressure and tension, I declare the pressure over.
Amen.
I declare the tension over.
Amen.
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Two more things. Give the Lord a praise if you will. Two more things to do. If you are here this night, in need of surrender to Jesus, it will not be easy to make the right choices except you have the mind of Christ. Want to make your way right with God so that life can be good for you. Carry your Bibles and bags and really run to the frontier. Please take your seat, everyone, and let's pray. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags. God bless you. You're saying, Pastor, I want my sins forgiven. I want Jesus to be Lord over my life. I want today to mark a new day for me. Carry your bags, carry your Bibles, and step to the front. While those are coming to offer their lives to God, we on our seat can offer our seed as sacrifice to God. Stretch your two hands in front of you. Father, I ask that you multiply harvest to every giver. The hand stretched out will never return to beg. In Jesus' name. Go on. The young man in the front, place your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever. Backward never. In Jesus' name. Amen. The young lady just ran and joined them. Please, once you take them, and someone else is coming forward, ensure you lead all of them to Christ. God bless you.